Good evening, this is Tom Rowe. You're listening to Turn on the News, a nightly look at radio news, radio art, media news, and more on Free 103.9. You can go to newsroom at free103.9.org or free103.9.org for more information about what you're going to hear. Tonight we've got a look at pirate radio enforcement in the United States and radio listenership in the United States and a lawsuit of over 4G LTE and more. Stay tuned. You're listening to Scanner. This is Treble Spin from Delivery on Turn on the News. Scott Moritz of the Bloomberg News via the Denver Post reports that LightSquared, a company developing a nationwide 4G LTE wireless broadband network, hired litigators Theodore Olson and Eugene Scalia of Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher to fight the Federal Communications Commission. Olson is the former U.S. Solicitor General under President George Bush 43. Quote, tests found that the company's proposed ground-based network would interfere with navigation equipment, including gear used by aircraft, according to the National Telecommunications and Information Administration, a Commerce Department arm that helps oversee the use of airwaves advising the FCC, unquote. Moritz reported for Bloomberg. Quote, their decision to not allow us to go forward isn't supported by the law or technical policy. We are confident about that, and we are eager to prove our case, unquote. Jeff Carlisle, LightSquared's Executive Vice President of Regulatory Affairs and Public Policy, told the reporter. You can see the full story from the Bloomberg News and the Denver Post, and that link is at newsroom.free103.9.org. Inside Radio reports that 241.2 million people aged 12 and over, or 93% of the population, according to Arbitron's March 2012 Radar National Radio Listening Report, tune into the radio each week. Inside Radio says this is about where Arbitron reported listenership a year ago. While a large number of internet radio and other listening options compete for ears, radio remains ubiquitous. Quote, Hispanic listeners 12-plus grew by nearly 2 million compared to the March 2011 report, meaning radio reaches 95% of Hispanics over 12. Half of that increase was in the 18 to 49 demo. Black listeners gained 12-plus also grew over year, up 391,000, with 93% of the black population tuning in to the radio each week, Inside Radio reported. Free Speech Radio News' Lisa Matuska reports on women's radio in Nicaragua.
In Nicaragua, a collective of women has elevated the community's discussion of gender issues, and they're using radio as a platform. In the small town of Mulukuku, a radio station has tackled contentious issues like sexual identity, reproductive health, and contraceptives in a community that is still recovering from the violence of the Contra War and overcoming oppressive cultural norms. FSRN's Lisa Matuska reports.
Buenas tardes, tengan todos muy buenas tardes, queridos y queridas amigas. Bienvenido a Radio Murugú, al cumpleañero de las cuatro.
Yasmina Yarkin is sitting in the control room in front of a 12-channel mixer and a computer screen that shows a playlist of cumbias lined up. She's holding a pile of wrinkled papers of various sizes with handwritten notes on each.
Para el programa Cumbiambero de las Cuatro, saludo a esta ventanilla a mi padre, Eleuterio Suárez, a mi mamá, Cecilia Zamora, a mi hermano, Hilario.
These are announcements which cost about 20 cents each to read on air. Some, like this one, are shout-outs to family and friends, or some are party invitations. Others seem more crucial, people looking for a lost ID or arranging a meeting to exchange a horse. The trick is that people have to be listening for them to work, and they are. The radio station, owned by a women's health cooperative, has shaped the town of Mulukuku, a municipality in central Nicaragua that's home to about 40,000 people. Gretel Siqueira is president of the Maria Luisa Ortiz Cooperative and was part of the crew that helped install the radio station 8 years ago.
The cooperative does a lot of work around prevention and education, and the most effective education until now has been through the radio, because Mulukuku is a rural town, and since many people listen to the radio in their homes, we've begun to realize that our radio is heard everywhere.
Cicada moved to Mulukuku in the early 80s with her family to help people displaced from the Contra War. The region was the site of a training camp for the Sandinista government military forces, who, during the war, were fighting the U.S.-trained counter-revolutionary Contra militia. Cicada helped families displaced by the war settle into the area.
It was a heavy war zone, so many cooperatives formed for defense and production. But when the hurricane came in 88 and the community that was there disappeared, then it was an opportunity for us as women to organize. We already wanted to, and there were various problems.
Cicada and a group of women started a brick building cooperative to rebuild homes from the hurricane. But soon they realized that even though the Contra War was over, random violence was common, and not just violence between communities, but within families and against women. She says many of the men who returned from fighting in the war carried this violence with them.
They came home from fighting the wars in the mountains with their problems and a lot of emotional stress, and the only place to direct these problems was toward the women. So therefore, the women were suffering because of the men coming home from the war. It was dangerous, but they were also just tired from the tension.
The cooperative soon transitioned into women's health, focusing on domestic violence, sexual health, reproductive rights, and contraceptives. They offered legal advice regarding divorce and land ownership and conducted PAP and STD tests. But the women of the co-op realized they were only reaching women that have the ability and the bravery to come to their space. So in 2004, they started a radio station in an effort to address these issues on air and reach people in rural areas who couldn't just walk into the clinic any day for a consultation. The radio station has made Mulukuku a town that today stands out from many other municipalities. Norma Valdez is a sociologist, health worker, and member of the cooperative. She says in Mulukuku, the radio has the power to cross many barriers, including technology, literacy, and education level.
We know that the radio is a very important medium because we take advantage of the time when women are home listening to the radio. So we always do our programs midday when she would be home and when her partner might be home as well, coming for food and maybe the rest of the family. And it's also important because it's not necessary that you know how to read. You can just listen to the radio.
Valdez says some women who hear about their services on the radio will walk up to 6 hours to come and get an exam. As cell phones are rare in rural areas, the health workers ask these patients if they can call them back to the clinic over the radio to come and learn their results.
Antes del matrimonio, nada de nada, ¿saben? No,
¿qué dice usted, profesor?
Bueno, eso que...
Nosotras decidimos cuándo y con quién. No nos hable de miedos, háblenos de métodos.
Miedos no, condones sí.
The station also airs public service announcements, advocating for the use of contraceptives and countering conservative ideas that abstinence is the only way to prevent pregnancy and sexually transmitted diseases. When Radio Mulukuku started, the only other broadcaster in the town was an evangelical station whose messages were along these lines. 19-year-old radio DJ Yasmina Yarkin is also a nursing student. She's at the station about 3 hours a day and talks about sexual health on her show. On air, she asks women to send questions or advice via text messages.
In these messages, I always get questions like, I don't know if I'm pregnant or not because I don't know about birth control, or how do I know which method of birth control is best for me? We also put a lot of emphasis on using birth control methods like condoms, how to use them correctly, as well as sexual health and sexually transmitted diseases.
Yarkin says, as an educational tool, she finds that the radio provides a sense of anonymity, especially for young people who might not feel comfortable asking anyone else these questions.
They send us their questions by telephone because they are afraid to ask their parents these questions, or to go to a clinic because they're afraid someone might disclose the information. So they feel safer asking over the radio through messages, and we try to answer the question if we can.
Co-op members say that although they often get angry phone calls from religious groups and more conservative residents, they won't change their message. And if people call requesting to hear a popular song that might be degrading or oppressive to women, they won't play it. The work on the part of the co-op and the radio station has made Mulukuku look like a maverick in a country where abortion is illegal and women's rights groups are still fighting a very male-dominated culture. But Gretel Cicada says there's even more issues they'd like to address, including homophobia, teen pregnancy, and building awareness of class struggles.
Opening up people's minds a little, providing information to change very conservative or conventional ideas that aren't healthy. There are a lot of conventional ideas that aren't healthy. Accepting the idea that girls can study and do other things besides having children. Girls can study, work, and don't have to be mothers.
In Nicaragua, there is no legal distinction between community and commercial radio, and some groups are fighting for a community radio law to help small stations like this survive. Until then, Radio Mulukuku collects money from small projects, selling chickens, selling gas canisters for cooking, throwing parties, and of course, taking announcements. Lisa Matuska, Free Speech Radio News, Nicaragua.
You can go to newsroom.free103.9.org for more information about anything you heard here. It's been the, you're listening to Turn on the News, Radio News Headlines. We're going to look at FCC pirate radio enforcement in just a second on Turn on the News.
Wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, says I need you here. And it's a 4:30 and I'm shifting gear. When I get lonely, and I'm for sure I'm speed, I'm almost there. Gotta keep cool now, gotta take care. Last car to pass, here I go. And the line of cars drove down real slow. And the radio played that forgotten song. Brenda Lee's coming on strong.
and the newsman sang his same song. Oh, one more raid, I love you, God. When I get lonely, and I'm sure I've had enough, she says the comfort coming in from above. We don't need no letter at all. We've got the thing that's cold, red I love. We've got the light in the sky. We've got the thing that's cold, red I love. We've got the thing that's cold, red I love.
Support comes from support for
United Airlines. United provides
support for NPR
in cities like Boston, New York, and Washington, D.C.
Underwriting today is provided
by
Jutus Juice Bar Blend and by Whitney Farms, producers of a complete line of
public
radio.com.
United provides just another way. National Business Radio is rising.
National Public Radio.
National
Business Radio.
Comes from
United Airlines.
Borders, books, and music.
Jutus, Juice Bar Blend.
United provides just another way.
National Business Radio is rising.
Public Radio.
National Public Radio.
Nonstop Business
Radio. Dot com.
Public Radio.
Nonstop Business.
Underwriting today is provided by Inktomi and Syncomi Scaling.
National Public Radio.
And INKTOMI.com.
National Public Radio.
National Public Radio. Soil Amendments and Mulches.com.
Public Radio.
Well, lots of pretty good news there. Thanks, Joe. That report brought to you by
NationalBusinessRadio.com.
Was Brain Science with Public Radio from Free Speech for Sale, and before that, Golden Earring with Radar Love, and of course, that's The Clash underneath. And we're going to look at pirate radio enforcement in the United States. So far, it's slowed a little bit in 2012. While 2 months is not much of a sample size, the Federal Communications Commission's enforcement of pirate radio stations so far in 2012 shows fewer actions than this time last year. There were 21 actions so far, no raids, 6 visits, and 9 letters in the mail, 4 NALs for $65,000, and 2 fines for $11,000, according to DIY Media's FCC enforcement database. You can go to the link there at newsroom.3103.9.org to get there and see all the details and compare it to years past. But actions so far this year have taken place in Florida, 6, California has 4, Massachusetts 4, New York 4, Louisiana 2, and Colorado 1. And it's also Free 103.9's 15th anniversary, so we've been playing some historic Free 103.9 broadcasts. And we have a couple of interviews with pirate radio stations right after they were enforced by the FCC. So first we're going to go to Lutz Community Radio and talk to Lonnie Cobras about his station after a battering ram came through the door. And then we'll talk to Kelly Combat from 87X, who the same day was had helicopters swirling overhead and a SWAT team busting his door. 3 pirate radio stations were busted in Tampa, Florida in November of 1997, and Free 103.9 was there to cover it. Here's Lonnie Cobras from Free Radio, Radio Free Lutz on Free 103.9.
Sound of helicopter rotor blades directly over our house. And when our eyes became were opening up, we could see that a bright searchlight was trying to shine in the various windows of our house. And almost simultaneous with that, we began to hear angry, loud male voices downstairs. We could not hear what exactly they were saying, but obviously they were telling us to open up or come out, something to that effect. And by the time I could get my trousers on and get downstairs and look out the door, I could see the battering ram was starting to move towards the door, and so I opened it to keep our house, keep our property from being destroyed. And when I opened the door, they grabbed me and put me in a foreign-made car, a non-police car, and eventually I was hauled off to jail.
Three places around town that simultaneously this was going on. So it was about almost 6:30 in the morning. Kathy and I were laying in bed, and she was about ready to get up. She's a teacher. She was about ready to go to school. And all of a sudden, a cop knock. You know how they knock?
I don't know. What is that knock?
It's kind of like this. They go... Something like that, but more powerful and fast and angry. Anyway, you never saw cops? You know how they knock on doors on cops?
I don't really watch that show.
Oh, okay. Well, watch it sometime, because it'll kind of prepare you guys for what could happen. Anyway, they knock like that, and they say, "Hey, police, open up, police, open up." And Kathy got out of bed. I guess she was kind of dazed still. We were still kind of half asleep. And she opened the door and said, "Do you have a warrant?" You know, and they said, "Yeah, we have a warrant. Come outside, come outside." And they made her go outside, and they rushed in the house and rushed in my bedroom while I was still in bed. Said, "Freeze, freeze." One of them had a gun out. One of them was pointing flashlights in my face. It was still dark out, you know? And, I guess at that point they,
Were you naked?
No, I was in my pajamas because it was kind of cold out. I wasn't butt-ass naked. And, they did some other stuff too, but I don't want to go into it. But what they did,
You got a full-on body search there? Is that what you're saying?
Eventually, one of the guys grabbed me, and they forced me to go outside, and so Kathy and I, we're on the front porch, and they put me in handcuffs, and handed me a copy of the warrant after I was in handcuffs on the front porch. And then there was about five or six federal agents, federal marshals, Tampa Police Department, and two FCC guys started wandering around my house, looking through shit, taking pictures of stuff, and rummaging through things. And when they realized that everything was upstairs, which I think, you know, they already knew everything was upstairs, they rushed up the back stairs of our house, and I guess they jimmied the lock on the studio door, and went in there, and turned the station off, ransacked everything, and started confiscating all my equipment. And my entire record collection, my entire CD collection, the 100-disc player, turntables, microphones, mixing board, transmitter, a keyboard, two radios, a beat machine, four or five broken turntables, a tape deck, headphones. I estimate about $15,000 worth of things were stolen. At least. Maybe more.
And so... You
have
to sit on the porch in handcuffs watching
them
take all your stuff outside?
Yeah, well...
Did they have a truck or something?
Yeah, they had a little minivan that they were loading all my stuff in the back of. They took all my... I had a pretty big collection of records. A lot of rare punk records. In a big crate. It took two of these bastards to carry this big crate downstairs.
You gotta watch for when that auction is.
Yeah, well, hopefully I'm going to get my records back before the auction.
You see the Simpsons tonight?
What's that?
The car auction on the Simpsons tonight?
No, I missed it.
So what happened then?
All right, that was Kelly Combat from 87X in 1997 talking about pirate radio enforcement from the FCC. He actually got those records back eventually. He cut some sort of deal with them and got his records back. He has pictures of him on the internet somewhere with a wheelbarrow carrying them out of the FCC Tampa office. The office that enforces more pirate radio stations in the country than any other office in the country. You're listening to Tom Rowe. This is Turn on the News. Tune in every night and turn on radio news, radio art, media news, and more. This is a production at WGXC in New York. You're listening to via 3103.9. To turn on the news, go to 3103.9 and newsroom at 3103.9.org for more information.